this morning. Lord, I just come to you this morning, welcoming your presence here. Lord, we just stand before you amazed at what an awesome God you are. And we see how unworthy we are, Lord, but we're so grateful that you said, you know what? I'm going to make you my child. And I'm going to love you, and I'm going to lift you up, and I'm going to praise you, and I'm going to worship you. Lord, as we worship you this morning and we praise you, we thank you, Father, for all the many blessings that you give us, Lord. Just receive that worship as a sweet savory into your life this morning. Lord, we love you. We welcome you here. We thank you.
Our God is an awesome God.
Our God.
Church, say amen.
Amen.
Amen again.
Amen.
One more time, amen.
Amen.
I don't know about y'all. I feel pretty good. I tell you what. I almost got up and said, Sister Iris, you must have looked at some of my notes. Don't tell it all. And I can tell Craig and Eva is back. I was like, those songs, I tell you, Eva, especially the one is, our God is an awesome God, he reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God, our God. We used to say that in my brother's church. I love it. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth. I'll tell you, you just got me this morning. Why? Yeah. I heard one of the guys tell me, he said, man, I can tell you just get excited when you get up there, but sometimes you got to slow it down. I said, yes, I do. I will try, but I make, hey, if it happened, it happened. Amen?
Amen.
I feel good this morning. And I'm not talking about James Brown feel good either. I feel good. Amen. I guess you all know that crew that sit kind of right there gone. If you don't know, you probably, you know, young folks, they do everything. They got everything on Facebook. You probably already know it. They post everything. My mother, her twin sister, my sister, everybody else in Okeechobee. Zach, my cousin Zach. His young one is getting Christian today. He's also going to be bringing the word. But they told me this yesterday. I didn't want to do Pastor Pedro like that. I would have called and said, hey, man, you got to, hey, let's switch. You got to step in today. I would have been gone, but it is what it is. Amen. To all of God's people this morning, good morning. Welcome to the Fellowship Worship Center. It is a blessing as well as a plumb pleasing pleasure to be standing before you in the house of God once again. I believe that if it's right, you should do it. If it's the truth, you should tell it. Amen.
Amen.
I believe in standing up, speaking up, shutting up, and then sitting back down.
Amen.
This morning, not to belong you too long, but I'm not old school. Yet, I'm not young. I don't teach middle school. I mean, elementary. I'm kind of middle school. So I love contemporary songs. I do. But there's something about good old hymn that just never get old, no matter what you say, how old you get. They will always bring inspiration to you. They're going to make you feel good. And I'm just going to do one quick verse, if y'all don't mind. If you do mind, then next time tell me shut up. But be careful what the response may follow, too. Amen. I love blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. Come on now. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Vision of rapture have burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Everybody, this is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior all the day long. Thank you, background. Amen, amen. I'm telling you, they just don't ever get old. And I love contemporary singing. I do. This morning we're gonna do some teaching or some preaching out of the book of Exodus. Exodus 17 chapter. Now, I know the last time you guys heard me a couple of weeks ago, I talked about the demon-possessed man. Well, we're going to have to continue with that like somewhere down the line or whatever. I talked to a couple of preacher friends of mine, one up in Atlanta, got a big church, one in Richmond, Virginia. We talk all the time. And was discussing about evil influences, demons and possession and stuff. He said, Doc, you got to be careful with that. You got to take baby steps. Everybody's not at the same place that you or I am, different spots. You may scare some people. I said, if I can scare them into running towards God, yes. But I wrestled with it. I said, okay, maybe not yet. We're going to stay in the shallow water right now. Nobody go drown. We'll get in the deep water. It's time to come on. It's coming. Because I don't like to sugarcoat anything. You can preach good sermons that good to people's ear, tickling to them, make them feel good when they leave. Everybody could be all feeling good. Yes, great sermon, good preaching. But you got to tell them both sides of it. The wages of sin is death eternally. They need to know. You got to stay prepared. You got to know what they're against. Amen. But today we're coming out of the book of Exodus, 17th chapter. And I titled this, Hold On Until Your Change Comes. Hold on until your change comes. We're going to try to talk a little bit about first move. Moses intercedes for the people and stands on top of the hill. My second point would be Moses get tired, weak, and weary. Finally, if I get a chance to, Moses hold on with help. Amen? Now, the 17th chapter, beginning at verse 9, I think we'll go to 16. And again, it's in the Old Testament, the first part of the book. Is it up? There we go. So I'm the one that's slow. It's already up. And it reads thusly. Moses commanded Joshua, choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us tomorrow. I will stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of the nearby hill. As long as Moses held his hand up, the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained advantage. Moses' arm soon became so tired that he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hand held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. Amen. Proposition for today, for those of you who don't know what that means, it's just, when I was in theology, they just said, almost like a theme. We as Christians must not give up in our earthly battle because God always, not sometimes, always helps his people. He may not help them when they want him to help them, but he always helped them. Mama always say he may not come when you want him to come, but when he do come, he's always on time. He's the slowest man that I ever know that's always on time. Amen. You ever got to the point when Jesus showed up and he take care of you and do some things for you and say, Lord, you're late? You don't do that. You say, Lord, I thank you. You're right on time. Even though you complain all the time until he got there. Well, he was there all along. Amen. He's omnipresent. He's God. Amen, somebody. Now, as we take a look at this passage of scripture, and yes, I do get excited sometimes. I told him I need to slow down sometimes, Brother Drayton. I'm going to try. But y'all, I just get excited with this thing. I just can't help it. We find that Israel had crossed over the Red Sea. Amen. So Moses, the God, the man of God, used the staff of God to create a highway so they can cross over. Y'all know the story, the part in the Red Sea. And as with any group of people, not everyone move at the same pace. Everybody don't move at the same time. We got, they run the bell at the first day of school the other day. They came down that hallway. I peeked around, I seen all them children coming. I went back in my room, and they was coming like I just going, but half of them was lost, just looking up. Blah, blah, blah. But you always got them stragglers. I had already started. 2-2-4. Is this Mr. Drayton class? You go have some stragglers and nobody move at the same time. I said, yes, come on in. Now, Israelite, they had some seniors, young folks, children, all straggling at the back. But once they made it over, once they got through, the first thing they encountered was with the Amalekites. Amalekites are descendants of Amalek, who is a descendant of Esau. These people were nomadic tribes. They were formidable people. They loved killing people. They killed for pleasure. They didn't believe in godly things or doing it God's way. Matter of fact, what they would do for their livelihood would go around and rambo and steal stuff from people and attack other settlers. These people were evil, but they knew how to fight. They knew how to fight a war. And they did not believe in doing godly things, amen? But the Amalekites attacked Israel from the rear. But one thing that they did not know, Israel and Israelite were who? God's people. Be careful who you mess with. Be careful who you're dealing with. Know who you're dealing with. You might just get more than what you bargained for. Amen? Amen? They wanted to come up from the rear and attack these people, and they did. But these were God's people. Uh-oh. In other words, they ramboed the Israelites from the end. According to scripture, Moses told Joshua to choose some men and go out and fight the Amalekites. And he did, which leads me to my first point. Amen? The first thing is this. Moses, the man of God, said that he's going to take that same staff that he used to smack the rock in the wilderness and it poured out water. The same staff that he used to hit the Red Sea and it parted. He's going to use that same rod when he go up to the hill, and he's going to stand up and assume the position, I like to say, of adoration, praise, reaching up, praising God. Now, Moses is standing up on the top of the mountain while Joshua and the others are down there fighting these Amalekites. He's standing up because he wants to be seen. He wants the people to know that, hey, I am here praising and interceding for you. I'm praying for you guys. I got my hands up praising God. But I'm going to tell you something. In the natural role, because he was a man of season, got a little older, how long do you think you can hold your hands up like this? if you grab this Holy Bible and hold it up, or the other one, I guarantee you it won't be long before you start getting weak and weary. Your arms start cramping, start getting tired. Well, as long as Moses' arm was up, the Israelites was tearing them up. They was winning the fight. They was winning the war. They was beating them. They was fighting. They was getting it. But as he got tired, his arm began to come down. As his arm began to get weak and weary and come down, yes, he was interceding for them. The tide began to turn. The Israelites start losing the war. The Amalekites start winning the war. What I'm trying to get you to see is that as long as he was had his arms up praising God, as long as his arm was up, they were winning. But as it began to go down, they started losing the war. Amen. That's not Brother Drayton. That's in the book. Read it for yourself. I say that quite often. You see, Moses stood on top of the hill to be visible. He wanted Israel people to know that he knew they was in this battle. How do you feel? I was working at Calkins Citrus right in Indiantown. And the head man, operation manager, and Wayne Thomas, he was before me, then Sterling Batson, these guys, they big shots. We had a truck full of fruit that had been out there so long, it was beginning to rotten. They had to go and dump it in fruit receiving, and we had to start picking out the bad ones. So they came and got me out of the engineering department because I was a draftsman. I draw blueprints and stuff for them. They said, Brother Drake, we need to come out. We go get down in the pit. We go take some of these bad oranges out. I'm like, me? That's not what I do. I didn't get hired for that. Come on. We got to save this load. Come on. So I went down there, and I see Dave Baldwin. I see all the big boys, everybody that's higher than me out there trying to get the bad oranges out. I'm like, what an awesome picture to see the boss out there in the thing getting dirty, down with us, saying, hey, I'm here to help. Rubbing elbows with people down in that, doing those type of jobs. It encourages others. It does. When I saw that, I mean, I jumped down there, I had my little pants, acid jeans or whatever it was, I was getting it too, because I knew if they saved this load, that's for this company. I work for this company. It's for us. Amen, somebody. And here Moses is saying, look, I got you. I see you. I want y'all to see me. I'm up here doing what I can. I'm up here interceding for you guys. I got my hands up, and I'm praising God, and I'm up here in adoration. I'm interceding. Moses stretched out, interceding his prayer for the Israelites. When I think about Moses on top of the hill, I think about this song that be in a book they call it Doxology said, let us lift up holy hand, magnify his name, and worship him. Most Baptist churches have that in their hymn book at the beginning called Doxology. Let us lift up holy hand, magnify his name, and worship him. He had his hands up, magnifying his name, worshiping him, praising him. Also, when I think about Moses on top of the hill, I think about when I lift to the hill, that cometh my strength. What come? All my strength come from the Lord. Amen? Amen. Like, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the sea and established it upon the flood. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord, amen. Now, Moses is doing all he can, but he's in the natural. He's gonna get tired. I can see Moses with his hands up, Israelite winning the war, which leads me to my second point, my second move, which is Moses is getting tired. He's getting weak, he's getting weary. Moses in the natural. Now, all through the Bible, you find out that God's men does need help. We all need some help, like my mom say, sometime. And you're not in this by yourself, especially if you are a child of God. Moses, the man of God, gets weak, tired, weary. If you look at verse 12, Moses' hand get heavy. Even God's best men get heavy sometimes. God's best men sometimes need some help. Amen? Now, my brother been pastoring over at Revere Beach, St. James Missionary Baptist Church for a long time. A lot of times he been in, and I'm sure Pastor Bruce can tell you too, even Pastor Pedro can tell you, go through all day long, doing all they can to help God's people, to help people in need, to visit the sick. They just go, get run ragged. And then right at the end, right when you come home, right when you think everything is good, I'm finna wind down, I'm gonna take my shoes off, kick my feet up, get a little snack, quick bath, get into bed. And my brother said, guess what? Before my bed hit the pillow, bring, pastor, my daughter was just in an accident. Could you meet us at the hospital? I said, what happened? He said, well, I know what I've been called and chosen to do. I put my clothes back on, get on down to the hospital. I understand. I don't rub elbows with them. He said, boy, he said, the man of God need help sometime. Well, there are some people right here that would help the church. There are some good people right here that help the church. Now, he was up there. He started getting weak and weary. Arms started feeling like spaghetti. Started getting flimsy, going down. He noticed that when the arm began to go down, the Israelites start losing the war. Amen. But God does have people to help hold up the arms of the church. Yes. We got some right here that help hold up the arms of the church. I don't want to start calling them names out, but I can't call them out. I see the brother out here blowing weeds every Sunday. Craig. Of course, he had that big vacation. I don't blame him. He's back now. We do what we can. Benzie, people at the door. Bob, Jim teaching. There are some good men to help hold up the arms of the church right here. And God knows it. And God acts to the church as he sees fit. He knows that we're going through a transition. He knows that Pastor Bruce done came and did what he had to do. Everybody has a time to do what he has to do. I had to wrestle and fight with this sermon that I did a long time ago called Passing the Torch in a relay. Pastor Bruce done ran his section. He got the torch behind him. We don't know who's going to grab it, but somebody's going to grab it. He's going to bear off, and that person has to take it and go with it. Only God knows. We just pray that it's a God-fearing man that will follow God, his leadership, have a love for the people, and do what he's been chosen to do. I know churches right now, they're not led, I shouldn't say that, you leave that alone. You make sure God-fearing, love God's children, love God's people, love the church, and do your job. And God will send someone that fit all of those. He already knows. Moses standing up on the top of the hill, got tired, but he was holding on. He holding on. I like to say, hold on. Hold on. If you're working on a college degree, it might get a little tough. You might get a little weak, weary, but hold on. If you got a job that you don't want to do, you're getting sick and tired of that job. That job might be sick and tired of you, but hold on. I guarantee it helps pay the bills. It helps put food on the table. Hold on. Hold on until your change comes. You might be holding on because of your financial situation. Hold on. The great gospel singer Shirley Caesar said, your blessing right around the corner. Right when you throw the towel in, it could be simultaneously when your blessing was coming. Don't give up. God will test you. He won't tempt you, but he will test you. You're holding on to the rope. You're at the end of the rope. Hold on. Right when you done gave out, and God knows when you're going to give out. He knows when you're going to let it go, and he just swoops in and scoops you up. God got you. But don't you just give up. Moses on top of the hill, holding on. And as they begin to get beat, they begin to get whooped because his arm got tired, weak and weary, and start coming down. See, God got some good people that would help you. They had Aaron and Hur. They went up to the hill with Moses. They got a stone, put the stone down, and let old man Moses sit down on the stone. Take a load off, brother Moses. Aaron got on one side of him, grabbed his arm in his hand. Hur got on the other side, grabbed his arm in his hand. And they held it up even till sunset. They held his arms up so they could stay up, and they noticed as long as his arm was up, the Israelite started winning the battle. Kept his arms up, started winning the battle. Even though he was tired, started winning the battle. What I'm trying to say, even God's best men need help sometime. Amen. Don't think, I ain't do it, that God's men don't need help. Like the pastor. I'm sure Pastor Bruce, if he was here, he'll tell you. I called plenty of time for some help. But there's a lot of time, I'll tell you, Pastor Bruce is everywhere. He'd be across the track, Booker Park, uptown, in Stewart, out of state, in state, everywhere. That man, go. That was a good man, Pastor Bruce. Amen, somebody. He would call me. I'm going to work. I swing by W. David Lumber. I said, I think I seen Pastor Bruce bad. And then the next thing, you know, and my phone. Yeah, I'm sure it was him. I get the phone. Hey, Lorenzo, I think I just passed you. Y'all know his voice. I'm like, yeah, I just passed W. David Lumber, yeah. Oh, I thought that was you, Pastor Bruce. Yeah, that was me. Okay, what you doing over here? I know I'm over here. What you doing over here? Amen, somebody. You got to have somebody that loves the people. You got to have somebody that God's fearing. Like my grandmother said, you know, you got to have somebody that will hold up the bloodstained banner. Amen? You got to hold up as long as you can. And I move on to another move here. Moses, the man of God, hold on, but he had some help. We all need help. If you say you don't need no help, you need to come talk to me. You're not going through anything. See, the devil is not going to bother you when he got you under control. I ain't going to worry about him. I got him. I'm going to worry about him. But the minute you start doing what's right, following God, doing what's for God, you put that bullseye on your back, he's going to come at you. If the devil is not bothering you, you must be doing something wrong. Mm-hmm, amen. He is roaming around seeking whom he can devour. If he know that he already got you, he don't worry about you. He's going to get them people that, like me, I ain't going to point at nobody. I can talk about me. That's trying to do what's right, trying to follow God, and he's going to be on you like some folks like to say white on rice, he will come at you. But you got to put on the full armor of God and be prepared. Amen? He's going to come. Moses assumed the position, took the earth, and Aaron took the stone, put up under him so he can sit down. They helped the man of God. As long as the man of God was up in adoration and praising God, they kept winning the war, and they won the war. They turned around, and Moses assumed the position and said, God did this. A lot of times God takes you two stuff, because he wants you to know that it was not you. He wants to get the glory. It was him. Y'all know the story of Lazarus? God waited. Was it 4 days? They wanted to make sure that his body began to stink. Because if he could have came the first day, somebody was saying, oh, he ain't dead. He wasn't really dead when Jesus called him. I call it a sneaky situation. I did that sermon too a long time ago. God waited till they knew that he was dead. Dead is dead. Dead is a doorknob. So he, his father, could get the glory. If he would have called him or called him soon, Somebody would say, well, he wasn't dead really. He really wasn't dead. But in 4 days and your heart doesn't stop beating, it's a wrap. You're gone. To make a long story short, I'm told that Jesus had to call Lazarus by his name. Why, Brother Drayton? Because his voice is so powerful. He's so majestic. He's so sovereign that he would have just told everybody that was dead, everybody in the cemetery, to come forth. I'm told that everybody out there would have got up. That's how powerful he is. Everybody in, everybody under the earth, everybody dead, everybody in the cemetery would have got up. Amen. So he had to call him by his name. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Tell me, Lazarus died there doing some things. He said, hold on, wait a minute. He said, hush. I think that's where they get that song from. I hear Jesus. I hear somebody calling my name, and it sounds like Jesus. I got to go. He's awesome. He's powerful. And when God uses you, let him get the glory. I'm just a vessel. I pray for folks. Folks have recovered. Oh, thank you, Brother Drake, for praying. Yes, that's what I'm supposed to do. God chose me to do that. I have to do that. But I'm not the one that heal you. I'm just obedient. For the Bible said, when two or three come together, gather his name, he'll be in the midst. Just be obedient to God. Amen? Yeah. Now, Moses, when he did what he had to do, and they won the war, and they got all the glory, God got the glory, it lets them know that there is a God. Now, you got people that like to get glory themselves, like to do things themselves, and then soon as they're done and they see a progress and see what happened, look what I done. No, you didn't do that. God did that. So deacons, sisters, brothers, I say deacons, but there's the ladies here that also help the church out, also to help the arms of the church. You have to. No one man could do it by himself. Amen? Now, the last and final thing is this. Maybe just me, I'll get a little warm. Anytime you assume the position of praying, anytime you assume the position of adoration, anytime you're giving God thanks, don't think for one time he does not hear you. Anytime you ask God for something, doesn't think he don't hear you. God acts in his own time. God answers to no one. God will supply all your needs. God will do what God want to do, when he want to do, how he want to do it, and he'll use others to bless you. He'll take your enemy and bless you, and your enemy won't know why they're doing what they're doing to help you. It's God. Amen. Amen. Yes. He will take situations that you don't know how you're going to get out of, and you made it out. He'll take a sickness that the doctor told you that he had done all that he can do. But if you like those praying sisters and brothers, say, look here, doc, I know another man. Amen. That's a great physician. I know a man, doc, that will tell me and you, it ain't over until he says it over. He can speak one word and I will be delivered. And I know some people that the doctor gave them 2 or 3 weeks, 2 or 3 months, 20, 30 years ago, and they're still living. Because no man knows except God. Amen. Amen. See, I get choked up with that because you're looking at one of them. Amen. I was in so much pain. That's why I always tell you, you know, pray. Man ought to always pray. You can be in so much pain, you ain't thinking about praying. You're hurt. You're in pain. I was in that kind of pain. I was almost to the point where I was about to ask God to come just take me. But then I came to my senses. I'm like, this is really nothing compared to what he went to on the cross. It's nothing. All I wanted to do was just a few hours of sleep. I couldn't get it. I was in that much pain. But when I prayed that prayer, I think I got about 3 hours of sleep. And it seemed like it was the best 3 hours I had pretty much all my whole life. But that morning when I woke up, 911, come get me. But I got some rest and sleep. I prayed to God, said, God, help me to get through this. And they gave me, what they call it, fentanyl something, that mess that it don't take me just a little bit, and I ain't feel nothing. It began to wear off. I said, hey, y'all need to give me another one. I feel it coming back. Give me another one. But I'm saying, we have to give credit who credit deserved. Moses was on top of the hill. Moses was praying and interceding for his people to Almighty God. And God delivered Israelite. The Amalekites lost that battle. And them some bad boys. The Amalekites will hurt you. They was expert in warfare, expert in pain, expert in teaching folks how to hurt people. They kill for pleasure. But when you mess with God's people, when you mess with the family worship center people, when you mess with Brother Drayton, you better know what you're doing, because I am a child of the King. I believe that. I know that. And if he come right now, break disguise and call me by my name, I don't want to go right now, but I'm ready. Amen. We have to understand that. Are you ready today? If God were to come right back right now, do you think you would go back home with him? Is there something in your life that prohibiting you or stopping you? If you can't answer that question affirmatively, you need to walk down these aisles. Or come talk to one of the brothers, Pastor Craig, Brother Craig, Brother Pastor Pedro, just walk back in. And it doesn't have to be a big thing. As we open up for invitation, it's not.